We are finishing up this series on building a fire from a flicker to a flame. And this message is something that I'm trusting and believing that God's going to speak to you, because it's, to be honest, it's something that I've been asking God to speak to me about for a long time. And I just continually want to grow in this area. And so we're going to be talking about faith this morning. And this finishes the series. So we've been talking about building a fire from flicker to flame. And so this whole series, we're using the metaphor of a fire to represent our relationship with God. So if you had a fire on a beach and that represented your relationship with God, well, if it was just this little dim flicker, barely even a light, most of us could probably relate with that and say, that's sometimes how I feel in my relationship with God. But according to Scripture and according to what we see happen in people's lives who just trust God, it's possible to have like a raging fire. A relationship with God that has an impact everywhere you go. So if you take a fire into a dry place, stuff happens, right? Like, you're not supposed to... Like, there's actually... I love going camping with my family, and sometimes there's, like, warning signs when you're at certain places, because it's, like, a drier time of year, and if you start a fire, it's probably going to, like, light all around it and cause, like, some forest fire. Which, and my wife always warns me. She's like, you're the kind of guy that, like, they warn about. Like, because I just love playing with fire and I love seeing things. But in all honesty, sometimes in my relationship with God, I know that it's possible to turn things up, to turn up the heat. And one of the things that we ask God, even here as a church, like, one of the desires that we have as Transformation Church is that we would live in such a way that the people around would notice the impact of our faith. So when a group of people gets together and just makes Jesus Lord and worships him with all of their heart, it has an impact on the people around them. It's impossible for it not to, right? And so one of the questions that I've asked, and even as a pastor, I'm like, Lord, if our church isn't having an impact, then we're missing something. There's something that's not going right if we're not having an impact. And so it grieves me right now. The papers are writing that we've seen the fourth murder so far this year in our city. And that's the fourth one that's on record. And there's been quite a few drug busts, a lot of, you know, things that go on in our city that are difficult to deal with and challenging. But as a follower of Jesus, all I can do, and when we sing on Sunday, and maybe you come in and maybe you're new to the faith and you're like, it's kind of weird being around a bunch of Christians. Like, I think they're strange or weird. That's okay. I would agree with you. It is. But the reason people lift their hands and sing these songs with all of their heart is because we're renewing our hope in the fact that God loves this city more than we do, and God wants to see change happen even more than you and I do. And so when I see the headlines in the news and the difficulty, I like, as much as it's difficult and challenging to see, I want to renew my faith in God and say, God, with you, things can be different. You can bring change and you can bring transformation. Which is part of the reason we showed that little video, and I mean, the quality of sound and everything was bad. But my dad's coming in May to share a story of hope. I was telling somebody the other day a little bit about my family background. I said, listen, if God can change our family, he can do it for anybody. Because our family was like a mess. And because somebody believed enough to pray and put hope in God, things changed in our family. And so this morning I want to talk about faith. And I want to specifically talk about your faith. And so I just want you, as we're talking about this and reading this scripture this morning, I just want you to have your heart open and ask the Lord if he has something to speak to you. And so one of the questions I want to ask you, and this is a rhetorical question, I just want you to think about it. But if somebody asked you to describe or explain to them what faith is, what would you say? Like, how would you explain faith? And so, in the illustration I want to use, imagine if I had a chocolate chip cookie in my hand. And some of you are like, man, I could go for a chocolate chip cookie right now. But imagine if I had a chocolate chip cookie in my hand and I asked you to explain it. Some people would give the explanation. They would say, well, it's like flour, it's chocolate chips, it's milk, it's eggs. You know, you would describe all of the things that made up that chocolate chip cookie. But most of us would be like, it's sweet and it tastes really good, and then you just eat it, right? Like, most of us, that's kind of how... And it's interesting because we're going to see in Scripture, there's not, like, a philosophical explanation of faith anywhere. Like, Scripture doesn't give the like this explanation that makes us go, oh, that's exactly what faith is. But you see over and over again examples of people that walked in faith and saw amazing things. And so maybe you're familiar with Scripture this morning, and maybe not, but I just want to bring back to memory a couple stories. So, there's some pictures to represent this. So David, we're going to see how this all ties together. This guy, David, maybe you're familiar with the story of David and Goliath, but he's this young boy, and he was going to visit his brothers who were facing an enemy army. So the people of Israel were facing an enemy army, and David sees, and what was happening at this time was there was this giant, Goliath, and he would come and he would stand in front of the Israelite army, and his challenge was this. He said, if all of you just want to live, you don't want to die, just send one of your men to come fight me, and if he beats me, then all of my Philistine army will follow you. Like, you will win the war. Nobody else has to die. It just has to be one man that's willing to come and fight. And everybody was shaking in their boots because this Goliath was this giant of a man. He was over 9 feet tall. He was an experienced fighter. But David, this is what's interesting with the story of David. He didn't see that situation the way everybody else was seeing it. He saw it with eyes of faith. He recognized Goliath is challenging the creator of the universe. Like the guy that invented oxygen one day for fun, right? Like, that's the challenge. And so when David went out, he wasn't going in self-confidence because he would have lost the fight. He was going in faith. He put his faith in God. And the reason I chose this picture, I have 5 kids, and my 2 oldest boys, Randall's too young to care. Their favorite part of the story is that David cuts off Goliath's head. just typical boys. And so when I picked the picture, I was like, I should honor my sons in that. But David has faith in God, not self-confidence. So most times, the message that we hear in the world is a message of putting confidence in yourself, just trusting in yourself. But what David models is just faith in God. And quickly, we'll go through a few other. Gideon. Gideon's famous in the story of Gideon, which is the next picture. He led an army of 300 men. God made Gideon dwindle his army down to 300 to face an army of over 100,000. That was the enemy army that he was facing. And so these guys here, you see them, and they've got their torches, and they've got their horns, and they also had, they don't show it in the picture, but they had these like pitchers where they were supposed to like make noise with the pitcher. And basically, and you got to read the whole story to get the details, but Gideon and his 300 men defeated an army of over 100,000 people. And Gideon is terrified. So if you read the story, I love the story of Gideon because he reminds me of me. And I go, you know what, God, if you can use Gideon, I guess you could use me. Because he's terrified. And over again, he's like, I don't think this is going to happen. God, I'm having a hard time believing you. And God just keeps building his faith. And faith is when our eyes get looking at God. Instead of looking at ourselves, our eyes get looking at God. And really, faith means the same thing as trust. Okay, and we're gonna see that today. Another story in Scripture is the story of a woman named Deborah. And back in the days when Deborah was around, women weren't really allowed to be in positions of leadership at all. But Deborah, God used this incredible woman of faith to have this huge military victory at a time when women weren't given really any rights or privileges. And this woman, she was such a woman of faith. Like people, when they would get around Deborah, their faith, their belief in God would rise up. And so there was this other guy at the time of Deborah who was also an army leader. And he was like supposed to be leading the army. And Deborah was like, you know, I'm going to send you out to go and get this military victory. And because I don't want the records to say that a woman got the victory. You know, I want you to be the one that gets the victory. He said, if you don't go, I'm not going. Like, I will not go fight. And so Deborah went, and she achieved this huge military victory. But it was because of her faith in God. It wasn't because of her brilliance. She just had faith in God. And when people got around her, their faith in God started to increase. And last one, Moses is a really famous story. And he led a million people through this, you know, through a desert to get to the promised land. And over again, what we see in Moses isn't like strength, it's weakness. Like, and you'll see, like, if you stick around long enough, that's one of the things that I'll emphasize a lot, because I see it over and over again in Scripture, is that the people God used tended to be some of the weakest people around, the ones that had the least amount of confidence in themselves. But what God had them do was he had them look to him. And I'm going to give you a couple quotes from a guy named Tozer today. And this guy, A.W. Tozer, he wrote from back in the 40s. But he basically described faith as the gaze of the soul. So faith is just getting our eyes on God. And when you get your eyes on God, your confidence starts to well up. No matter what's going on in your surrounding, no matter how bad things seem, when your eyes start looking to God, you start getting encouraged because you realize, man, he is all powerful. So over and over again, God uses people that everybody else would say is weak. Like they'd be like the least pick. And God's like, that'd be a good one. And the reason he does that is because he wants to get the glory, not us. And so this guy, A.W. Tozer, and I want to read this this quote to you. So he, in this quote, it's interesting because A.W. Tozer, he wrote sometime around the Second World War. And it's really interesting. He's imagining in this quote, you're going to see, somebody who's never read the scriptures before. Okay? So they've never opened the Bible. They've never, you know, heard the stories of David and Goliath or Jonah and the whale. They've never heard any of these things. And for the first time, they're reading through the scriptures. And so Tozer says, and I want you to imagine this with me. So I want you to do this morning. Imagine somebody who has no familiarity with the Bible. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you're like, well, I'm not, you know, familiar with all of that stuff. That's good. Listen to what's being said here. He says, if that person read through the Bible, one of the things that they would notice that's really important is faith. So I'm going to read it, and it'll be on the screen. So he said, this person will very likely conclude that faith is all important in the life of the soul. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith will get me anything, take me anywhere in the kingdom of God. But without faith, there can be, and listen to how this is powerful stuff. Without faith, there can be no approach to God, no forgiveness, no deliverance, no salvation, no communion, no spiritual life at all. And so Tozer's saying, you know, if you're reading the Bible for the first time, you would very quickly realize that if you didn't have faith, you couldn't have salvation. You couldn't have deliverance. You couldn't have victory. Because all of the people in Scripture that experienced amazing things in God, they did so because of their faith. And so the one, and this is the most famous explanation of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Okay? So faith is, say this again, so faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And so maybe you're here and it's your first time thinking about this, or maybe you've been a follower of Jesus for many years. I'll bet you that like most of us are in the same boat when it comes to faith, where it's a challenge to actually walk in faith. But faith, the scripture writers, all they're saying is it's this confidence in something that you don't see. So faith is the same thing as trust. My relationship with my wife is built on trust. If you're in a marriage relationship or in a healthy family relationship, you can't possibly have a healthy relationship if it's not built on trust. And so faith and trust are the same thing. And the reason this is challenging in our relationship with God is because sometimes we go through things in our life that cause us to question him, or cause us to kind of tremble a little bit in our faith. We go through difficulties and challenges in our life that just cause us to shake in our boots a little bit. And I'll be honest with you, I wish that there was like a three-step explanation of faith that once I memorized it, I was just this perfect faith-filled Christian. I do. If there was like three, okay, here's the three things. If you say this and do this and like walk this way, you'll walk in perfect faith. But there's not. It's so simple. Over and over again, Jesus says that the message of the gospel, the message of the kingdom, is so simple that a child can understand it. Every single person in this room today can get to a point where you just trust God, where you have faith in him. Like David. Like when David went running out in front of Goliath with all of that confidence, it wasn't because he got to the point where he saw himself as this great person. He just realized, I serve an all-powerful, almighty God, and he's never failed. He just trusted that. It's really simple. Faith is incredibly simple. And so when you think about what we talked about earlier with the cookie, right? So sometimes we're tempted in church and anywhere else where we're trying to study things is we're trying to figure things out, you know? And sometimes I feel like in church we're more like the first guy that's trying to explain the cookie. Well, it's flour and it's chocolate chips and it's an hour in the oven and not 10 minutes more or not 10 minutes less because it'll be too gooey or it might be too hard. And we're like figuring all this stuff out. But really the beauty of a cookie is just eating it, especially when it comes right out of the oven, right? Like, that is the best time. I was out with somebody the other day and they got me a coffee cake at Starbucks and it was right warm and like it just melted in my mouth and I was like, that is, I didn't care what was made, like how that was made at all at that moment. Like I wasn't sitting there trying to figure out like what went into the coffee cake because it was incredible. It just melted and went down smooth, right? And faith is similar. That, and the reason scripture doesn't give us this like, this definition to make us fully figure it out and understand it is because faith is something that you walk in. It's trust. It's just trusting God. And this week I was getting ready to talk about faith, and so I was thinking about it even more. And I had this realization. I was looking at listening in the book of Luke, and in the first couple chapters of the book of Luke, it tells the story of Jesus and how he was born. And you might remember in the book of Luke, it tells the story of John the Baptist first. And so John the Baptist's father was going, he was in the temple, and he was chosen as a priest to go in and offer sacrifices to the Lord, and he was the only one chosen that year. And while he was in there, this angel from heaven, the angel Gabriel, comes and says, hey, Zacharias, you're going to have a son, and his name is John the Baptist. And if you remember the story, this guy, he's a priest, okay? So he's like been a pastor for years and years and years. He's supposed to be this really spiritual guy. He's supposed to have lots of faith. And he laughs, and he doesn't believe God. And it was really interesting. I was listening to the audio Bible that was telling this story, and the angel, when he spoke that prophecy to Zacharias, and Zacharias didn't believe him, the angel said, I'm Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. He said, and because you didn't believe me, you'll be mute until your son is born. And it hit me that faith, the reason doubt and unbelief is so offensive to God is because the most important thing to God is his relationship with us. Now, I want you to think for a second. The person that you're closest to, so maybe it's a spouse or a family member, if you and you're really close, you trust each other, you know each other, and if you were sitting down with that spouse or that family member and you're pouring your heart out and you're telling them something, and they looked at you with just disbelief and said, I don't believe you, that's a baloney. Like, wouldn't that hurt? Yeah. Like, it's not so bad. If somebody that doesn't know me very well just kind of, you know, snubs me in some way, I can get over that. It's fine, right? Like, they don't know me, that's okay. But the person that I'm closest to, if and they know that I'm being sincere and honest, they know that I think that they know that, and they look at me and just don't believe me, how hurtful is that, right? And I realize, like, the reason unbelief and doubt is so hurtful to the heart of God is because he values his relationship with us more than anything. And God is the one that is perfect. There's no flaw in him. So when we don't believe him, what kind of a message does that send to God? So faith is important. It's the one thing that we have that we can respond to God. And this, one more quote by Tozer. He said this is really powerful. He said, faith itself is not a meritorious act. You can tell he wrote from a long time ago. We don't use meritorious very much anymore. It's kind of hard to say. Meritorious. Faith itself is not a meritorious act. The merit is on the one toward whom it is directed. And so basically what he's saying is, like, if you have great faith, so David and Moses, those people we talked about, like, we don't look at them and go, oh, David was this amazing person. Because the more you look at David, the more you see failures and flaws and the mess-ups that he made. So having faith doesn't make you the superstar. It makes God the superstar, because all of your trust is on him. You're stepping out into something that doesn't even make sense, and then he comes through. So all of the credit, all of the glory goes to God. So if you and I are able to learn to walk in great faith, it doesn't make us this superstar. It's not like we can walk around being like, man, I am so awesome. Right? I am just like, I got this, right? Because what faith is it goes, it's this realization of, no, I don't have it, but God does. Like, that's what faith is really, in a lot of ways, it's just an admission of weakness. Like, if you meet somebody who has great faith, they're not high on themselves. They don't have a lot of confidence in themselves. They have a ton of confidence in God. And that's what faith does. Faith makes us realize, like, no, I can't do this on my own. You know, I've been talking about what God is calling us to as a church, and I really believe his call on us as a church is to have an impact in this city. And you know that I have no confidence that we as a group of people can do something in and of our own strength that's going to help with the things that are going on in the city, like the murder and the drugs. But I believe God has called us to it, and I believe that he's faithful, and if we trust him, we'll see him do amazing things. Right? And so faith is, it's not about us. It's not making us look good. It's this awesome, amazing God. And Jesus asks this question in Luke, and we're going to read a story from the book of Luke. In the book of Luke, I don't think I ever noticed it as much as I have until this week, but over and over again in the book of Luke, faith is emphasized. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 18, he asks this question. He says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? I just want to ask you that question. Like, when I read that, and I've done this in my life, I'll stumble across this verse and I'll think, please, Jesus, like, when you come looking for faith, find me. Like, put that faith in me, because I want you to see that there's faith in my heart. Right? Like, and he's asking this question, will he find faith? And I want to read these three little statements before we read the actual story. Over and over again, and I just picked three of them, but this happens in Luke all the time. In Luke 7, verse 50, Jesus is talking to a woman with a really bad reputation. She was not looked at favorably by anybody in her time. And Jesus looks at her and he says, your faith has saved you. Right? And then in Luke chapter 8, and this is the story we're going to read, Jesus looks at a woman who's got this issue where she's bleeding constantly and she's never been able to get healing. And she gets to Jesus and he heals her. And then he says, your faith has healed you. And then and the man with leprosy is in Luke chapter 17. He says to this man of leprosy, your faith has made you well. So over and over again, Jesus is saying, because of your faith, you've experienced healing. Because of your faith, you've been saved. Right? And then and before, the verse that I read, he was saying, like, when the Son of Man comes on the earth, will he find faith? Faith is like this key that gives us access into the kingdom of God. Like, people that have just believed and trusted him and walked in faith have experienced incredible miracles from God. They've been saved by God. They've experienced God in incredible ways. And the key, the access, is faith. And so, as we look at faith, I would say it's one of the most important things in all of Scripture. It's like the one thing that we can do. So you and I cannot earn our way to God. Like, we can't be good enough to earn his favor. We can't be saved because we do something good enough so that he looks and says, okay, now you're good enough, you're good to go, I'll bring you into heaven. But the one thing that we can do is just have faith. And faith is simply trust. All he's looking for from us is just to trust him, just to put our faith in him in trust. And so I want to read this story, and this is one of my favorite stories from Scripture. It's in Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to read verses 40 through 56. And it'll be up on the screen. And just, it's really neat because there's two stories that are happening here, and I want you to notice a couple of things. For one, we're talking about faith, and so just recognize what's going on here in reference to faith. But secondly, the way Jesus deals with people is so different than how you and I deal with people. Like, and I'll tell you, one of my weaknesses is sometimes I want people to be pleased with me. So some of the things that I do, it's like I'm trying to get people to be happy. Jesus never cared what people thought of him. Like, if somebody had all kinds of pomp and they were super religious and high ranking, like, he really didn't care what they thought of him. He did care about them. He just didn't care what they thought of him. He cared about truth. And so just the way he deals with people is really good, and it's freeing to see this. So starting in verse 40 of Luke chapter 8, it says, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house, because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. And I want you to, as we're reading this, just picture what's going on. So this man Jairus, he comes to Jesus. He's a synagogue leader. So he's like this famous preacher of the day, okay? And back in those days, it was different. Preachers today don't have a great reputation. Like, when I tell people I'm a preacher, they're like, what? Right? It's not, like, super highly respected in our culture today, here in this part of the country. But in Jesus' day, if you were, like, a synagogue leader or preacher, you were highly, highly regarded. Basically, whatever you said, that's what goes. Like, you were held in high esteem. And so this guy comes, he falls at Jesus' feet, he says, please, come and heal my daughter. Continuing on, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but nobody could heal her, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. And immediately, her bleeding was stopped. Another thing you need to know, in those days, if you were bleeding and you had like an open wound, you were considered unclean. So to go into a public place and touch people, you could be severely punished for it. And to add to that, if you were a woman trying to go to somebody who was a highly respected person, you were also treated horribly and even shamefully. Okay, so, and just watch how Jesus interacts with people. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me. I know that power has gone out from me." Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. And then he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace." While Jesus was still speaking, someone from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader, said, "Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the teacher anymore." Hearing this, Jesus said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just believe, and she will be healed." When he arrived at the house of Jairus, he did not let anybody go in with him except Peter, John, and James, and the child's father and mother. Meanwhile, all the people were wailing and mourning for her. "Stop wailing," Jesus said. "She is not dead, but asleep." They laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But he took her up by the hand and said, "My child, get up." Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. And so I want to bring this story to two points, okay? And then I want to have a time afterwards where we can just enter in and worship God and sing our praises to him. And even, maybe for some of us, ask for forgiveness for allowing doubt into our heart. That's one of the things that I do on a regular basis. I'm like, "Lord, forgive my unbelief. Like, help me just to trust. Help me to fully believe and embrace you." And so there's two things going on in this story. There's an example of really strong faith and an example of weak faith. And so the example of strong faith is obvious. It's this woman. So you could imagine. So Jesus, he's just been asked by this really important synagogue leader to go heal his daughter, right? And so he's on his way to Jairus' house, and the crowds are coming in, and they're crushing Jesus. They're coming from everywhere, and all of a sudden, Jesus stops and says, "Someone touched me." So obviously, his disciples, Peter, is like, "What are you talking about? Everybody's touching you. Like, they're all crowding in around you. Why are you saying that?" And Jesus said, "No, I felt power leave me." And as I was reading this and studying it, I realized, like, Jesus can actually physically feel faith. Like, he physically feels the presence of our faith. So all kinds of people were touching him, but this woman, she went with her intention being, "I'm going to touch Jesus and I'm going to experience healing." And as soon as she did, she was healed. But Jesus could physically feel the presence of her faith. And I was getting ready for this week, and I was thinking, he still does. Like, if we want to get God's attention, faith is what gets his attention. When we just trust him in the midst of crazy circumstances, it gets his attention. Do you know that was one of the most unique and weird miracle stories of the Bible? Like, most people in the scriptures, they went and they asked Jesus for healing. Or Jesus at least had a conversation with them about healing. But in this one, like, there was no conversation that happened. There was nothing pre-miracle that set this up. This woman just broke through the crowd, touched the piece of his garment, and then she experienced this healing. And she physically got his attention just by having faith. So even today, you and I, we get the attention of God with our faith. And I know that, and it sounds crazy, but some of the stories that encourage me the most are people that go through the most tragic and crazy, difficult experiences, but they don't give up their faith, and they experience the victory of God in and through. And it's challenging. I think sometimes in our culture, we want things to happen instantly, and when they don't, we begin to question God. This woman, for 12 years, had sought healing and hadn't given up. She didn't give in to despair, and she encountered Jesus after this 12 years of suffering and difficulty. And it was a great risk. You know, if she'd have been caught going through the crowd for what she did, she would have been severely punished for it. But she didn't give up in the midst of those 12 years. We don't talk enough in church about the 12 years. Usually we talk about, like, the minute that you get healed, and we're all like, "Yeah!" And we'll come up after a service like this, and we're like, "Yes, God, I just want it right now." And then we don't get the answer we're looking for, and we walk away discouraged. But it's really important to recognize this woman was 12 years in hoping and believing and looking to God. And it's really important that we recognize that. And so don't give up. And the second thing I want to point to from this story is the weak faith. And so I think most of us probably can relate to having weak faith. And so, and I'm going to put on the screen, in Luke chapter 8, verse 50, So Jesus, this is really interesting. So he's on his way to this synagogue leader's house, right? He's on his way to Jairus' house, this really important guy, and he gets distracted by a woman who everybody would have thought, why would you even pay any attention to her? Why give her the time of day? For one, she's bleeding and touching people. That's against the law, so just cast her out. Another, she's a woman approaching this really significant rabbi. That's not allowed. But Jesus refused to give in to that thinking, and he acknowledged her. And it's really interesting. He would have been under a lot of pressure to go and do this miracle for Jairus because of how important he was. Even his disciples, you can see examples of it in Scripture, put pressure on him to do things that please the people, and Jesus refused to do it. So you can imagine Jairus is there, and his daughter's dying, and he's the synagogue leader, he's super religious, and he's frustrated. Why are you spending time talking to this woman? She's insignificant, and you shouldn't be paying attention to her. And then Jesus heals this woman, and somebody comes from Jairus' house and says, hey, don't bother getting Jesus to come because your daughter died. Immediately. So the guy, Jairus, I know what would have been going on in his mind. Immediately, he would have been tempted to be angry at Jesus, right? Like, why were you spending time with this woman? You could have been healing my daughter. But before he ever had time for this doubt to enter his mind, Jesus, and I could just like, you could just see Jesus, his head snaps up and says, don't be afraid, just believe, and she'll be healed. So what Jesus was doing with Jairus was he's saying, don't let the doubt into your mind. Don't let the fear crowd out your faith. Because you came to me in faith. You came and you knew that I could heal your daughter. Don't let doubt come in and convince you otherwise. And maybe for you this morning, this is something that you relate to. I know for me, when I think about this story, I relate a lot with Jairus. Because I'm like, sometimes I'm tempted to let the fear crowd in or the doubt crowd in. And you look at how quickly Jesus says to Jairus, don't be afraid, just believe. And maybe this morning, this is something that resonates with you where you've had fears or you've had doubts or you've had difficulties in believing and you need to embrace the words of Christ to don't be afraid, just believe. Put your hope in him. You know, and I shared this morning about the finances coming in to be able to fix this balcony. It's been this crazy journey. When God called us to come to Thunder Bay to plant a church, one of the things that we had to do right from the start was, in our first year, was to raise $75,000. And all we knew was that God was calling us to be here. And so I knew it would be disobedient not to come. But in all honesty, I had this doubt in my mind where I was like, I don't really know that we could do that. I know God could do anything, but I don't know if he's going to do it for me. Maybe you ever felt like that before where it's like, well, I believe God could do it for them. I just don't know if he'll do it for me. Or I believe God does cool things. I just don't know if he'll do it for me. And throughout this whole journey, for us, it's been this reminder from Jesus to just trust him. And so in that first year, that goal came in, that $75,000 goal, and we were able to continue. And there's been a few other things that have been significant along the way. And this campaign that we did, the Growing Pains campaign, to get enough glass so that we can open up the balcony, we just knew that we needed to move in that direction. But we were also in the middle of another fundraiser. And I remember thinking, like, I can't see that happen, right? And our team just really felt like this was the way God was leading, and so we launched out into this. And this week, and I just thought, well, there's no mistake with God, that I got word this week that all of the funds have come in to be able to do this, right in the middle of this whole faith thing. And again, it was this reminder where I'm like, God, I feel like I'm more like Jairus, where I struggle to believe. Sometimes I struggle to really trust God. But over and over again, he's faithful. And I want you to know this morning that God absolutely is faithful. And I want to give you this last thought to close. And I want to spend, we're going to play a couple more songs with the team and just have some time where you can spend some time in prayer and just even committing to the Lord, your faith, your hope once again. But there's this really cool story, again in the book of Luke, where Jesus sends out his followers. He sends out 72 of them to go and preach the gospel all over Judea and Israel. And so he sends them out, and he gives them power. Right before he sends out all of his followers, he says, I'm going to give you power to pray over people. You're going to see demons come out of people. Like, you're going to see miracles happen. So they do. They go out, and they come back. And it's really interesting. It's in Luke chapter 10, if you want to look it up. They come back, and the people are all freaking out. And they're like, Jesus, like, we're even praying, and we're seeing demons come out of people. And instead of getting excited, Jesus says, well, don't rejoice that you're seeing those things happen. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Rejoice that God has saved your soul. And it was this reminder again that if people that walk in faith, you'll see great things. You'll see God do, you know, miracles of provision, miracles of deliverance, miracles of healing. But the main reason that the main emphasis, the main purpose of faith is to make our hearts right with God. Like, that's it. The most important thing that I can emphasize from Scripture about faith is that if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done for you, you can believe with assurance that you're going to be with him for all of eternity. As a family man, I've got 5 kids, and I've realized that, you know, death is a possibility in our family before any one of us are comfortable with it. And I've had conversations with my kids that trusting Jesus is the thing that's the most important. I was with Esther the other day, and I was telling her, I said, if you learn one thing from my life, let it be just that you can trust Jesus. Because honestly, if our faith is in Jesus, then there's hope for all of eternity. But if our faith is not in Jesus, then all we have hope for is what we can accomplish in our lives, which is not very much. You know, I've known people that died really young, that had a ton of potential. I went to school, university with a guy. He was this incredible man of God. Everybody loved him. He had an impact on everybody at our school. He was 25 years old, and he was married. And him and his wife had this incredible marriage. They loved each other, and he just died suddenly. His best friend found him in his room on the summer break, and it shocked the whole community. It was just like, and it didn't make any sense to us. We were like, why? Like, this guy had so much potential. He was better than most people that we know. Like, why? And because the thing that is most important in our life is our relationship with God. Like, you'll experience all kinds of incredible things if you walk in faith. For as long as you're alive, you'll see God do amazing things. But what Jesus said to his disciples in Luke chapter 10 was, don't get excited about that stuff. The most important thing that faith accomplishes is this relationship with God. It's this assurance that you're going to be with him for all eternity. It's this assurance that you can trust him when things look really, really bad. So when things are horrible and falling apart in your life, the best use of faith is just for you to look to God, just trust him. And so maybe today you're here and you're like, well, I don't know that I'm going to be with God for all of eternity. I haven't put my trust, my faith in him. I would encourage you, today is the day to do that. Maybe you're here and you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and put your faith in what he did for you on the cross. I would encourage you, today is the day to do that, because faith really is all about reconciling our hearts with God. And when our hearts are right with God, you'll walk in things that are absolutely amazing. You'll see God do amazing things in your life, and it's powerful. Maybe it'll take the 12 years, but he never fails. But the most important thing about faith is our relationship with him. I'm going to have the team come up, and I'm going to pray. And I just encourage you, as we sing these songs to the Lord, just to spend a couple minutes in prayer and to maybe make your heart right with God if you've allowed doubt to creep in, or you've allowed fear to creep in, or you've looked at yourself instead of at him. Let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you for who you are.